we have are two kinds of growth that we must work at. One is numerical growth, of course, where there are numbers in the church. But before there can be numerical growth, there needs to be spiritual growth. You cannot have your numerical growth without the spiritual growth. And we therefore have to learn how to grow both spiritually and after that, numerically. The scriptures show, brethren, that God adds number to his church only when the church is growing spiritually. And it is very important to understand this. Another way to put it is that qualitative growth brings quantitative growth. When you grow in the quality, yes, in the Word of God,
yes,
then that is what prepares us. God does not want to bring people into a church where they are going to be turned off. Bring people into a church where there are bad examples.
Yes.
God is just the way when you are inviting people into your home. When you're inviting people over to your home, oh, you're going to make sure that you put things together,
yes,
to invite them. Because you want when they come to your home that they feel comfortable.
Amen.
That you can provide and they can feel that this was a good visit.
Yes.
Similarly, the household of God. When people come into the household of God, they must feel that food is prepared. That is why you cannot be giving wishy-washy sermons. One verse sermons. That is just a kind of repeat of the same things and so on. That is why it has to be teaching from the Word of God.
Yes.
That's the food they get when they come.
Amen.
And all the things we do, the songs,
yes,
the fellowship,
yes,
and all that. Very, very important part,
yes,
of God's church. And this is a good time for us to be speaking about this matter. Because that is what we are going to do to fill up this place.
Amen.
This place is going to be filled that we have to go and find another place.
Amen.
We have a lot of work to do.
Amen.
And we are going to do it God's way.
Amen.
There are a lot of people who can fill up spaces.
Yes.
You can fill up spaces with a lot of music and a lot of, you know, excitement. But that's not the church of God. People will come and they will feel fed because we're going to give them solid food.
That's
solid food, nourishment.
Yes.
Let's look at the scriptural example of how God grows his church. How God grows his church. Amen. It's all up there and you can see it. It's a much bigger screen than we normally use. And we are getting accustomed to it. Turn with me to Acts 2 and verse 47, please. Acts 2 and verse 47. And what we see there is a statement saying, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Who added?
The Lord.
The Lord. We are not the ones who add. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Okay. So God is the one who adds people.
That's right.
But under what condition does God add people? The conditions under which God adds people. You've got to look prior to 42. Prior to 47. Go to 42. That was in verse 47. So let's step back to verse 42 and see why that statement was made. Why the Lord added to their numbers daily. Could someone read that for me, please? Acts 2, starting in verse 42. You can use a microphone so that we can pick it up on the
It says here,
system here.
And they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching by the prophets and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer.
Hold on there. I'm showing you the condition that existed, why that statement is in the scriptures. Why the Lord added daily. It says here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There is a teaching that is supposed to take place in the church. That is supposed to edify and build up people.
Amen.
That they can become equipped to do the work of God.
Yes.
And the fellowship. There is a relationship that is to be developed in the church.
Yes.
Where people are as one.
Mm-hmm.
Where one looks out for the other.
Sorry.
And where the body of Christ
yes.
is like a body where
yes.
each part is doing its maybe a different work,
yes.
but all working for the common good. To the breaking of bread and to prayer, which is part of fellowship, the breaking of bread and to prayer. Because we must understand that we do not act on our own. And we must go in prayer. That is why Brother Farron said maybe today, this morning should have been a prayer session before. And we have done that in the past. In each of our services, we try to blend it with some activity, and one of them is prayer, to have a short prayer meeting before we get into the rest of the services. And we want to develop that and to grow, because we must be a praying church.
Right.
Not just a church that comes and preach and speak. Because when we preach and speak without prayer, we're preaching and trying to speak on our own.
Yes.
But it is through prayer that we ask for God's wisdom, for God's power, For God's edifying and understanding that we can share with others. Verse 43, please read.
And reverential fear came to everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles.
The act of God's miraculous power was being demonstrated in the church. And this is an important part of the church. God has not stopped working miracles. And one of these days we'll talk about that, about the subject of healing and miracles in the church, because that is a subject that is much misunderstood. Many people believe that this is just, you see a lot of things going on your television screen. But we will talk about this subject and speak about how it relates to the church of God. Verse 44.
And all those who believed were together and shared all things in common.
That is a point. There is a spirit of commonality.
Yeah.
There was a spirit of care.
Oneness.
These are the things that follow the statement. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
Yes.
We need to understand there's a formula.
Yeah.
There is a method that God has. And we must use that pattern, because it's laid down for us in the scriptures.
Yes.
We're not going out there trying to attract people just through excitement. That's not it.
No.
There is a way in which God adds to his church. And the teachings of God, the teachings of the Bible, the doctrines of your beliefs are a critical part of it, along with these things. And it goes on, verse 45.
And they sold their possessions and properties, and they were dividing the proceeds to all, to whatever degree anyone had a need.
You know what that speaks to? It speaks again to care and outreach.
Amen.
It speaks to understanding the pain and the problem each is going through and working towards it and doing what we are to do in our little corner to help all the brethren, all of us together. In other words, we must bear with one another, and we must bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
All these things are to be done. Listen, go ahead, verse 46.
And day by day, they were holding forth of one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house.
That's right.
They were sharing nourishment in joy and simplicity of heart.
47.
Praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord was adding to those who had been saved.
That's right. That's where 47 comes from. You may read 47 by itself and say, well, okay, God's going to add. No. There is a condition under which God adds people to his church. And so, this is really an important lesson for all of us. Because those, if you go back up to verse 41, this is just before 42, it says there, those who had received the word were baptized. And there were added that day 3,000 souls.
Yes.
And it goes on. So there is something that we have to do as a church.
Yes.
And that is to come to a proper understanding of the method that God has laid down in his word and how we must proceed. It is something, therefore, that is not just a pastor who has some great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It is really going to the Word of God and utilizing what God has given to us. Turn to chapter 4 and look at verse 4. And you begin to see now the growth. So you see in verse 41 of Acts 2, you see some 3,000 were added. Look in chapter 4. Acts 4 and verse 4. It says, and many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Okay? You're seeing growth. You're seeing the church grow. I'm going to show you how the church declines too. I'm going to show you only how the church grows. How the church can decline. How the church can lose members. That part we're going to do as well. But what you're looking at here first is how the church grows. So 5,000, just the men alone were 5,000. And if you balance that with an even number of women, you're looking at 10,000. And that is the kind of numbers that were being added. Go to chapter 5 and look at verse 14 of the book of Acts. Chapter 5 and verse 14. You're seeing that there is a growth taking place. It is as though it is exponentially growing. It says here, and all the more believers in the Lord. Multitudes of men. Now, before it was giving you numbers.
Yes.
And it was, but apparently you can't count anymore. So they now have to find a new word. You saw 3,000 and you saw 5,000. But now it is getting so large. It is saying now, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were added to the church. You tell me how much that is.
Multitudes.
It's not even a multitude.
Yeah.
It's multitudes of men and women were added to the church. That is the nature of how the Lord adds to the church when the church is operating in the will of the Lord. You go to chapter 6, please. And we look at verse 7. And now you are seeing that it is not just regular people that are coming in now. You're not just reaching regular people. But we are seeing here in chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, and the word of God kept on spreading. Notice that. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. They're converting the leaders.
Amen.
The leaders were being converted too.
Amen.
It's important to understand growth and growth models and God's growth model, the scriptural model of growing God's church. It's important to understand that. You can add people to the church, you know. You can easily say you're going to add someone to the church. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us how Christians are added to the church. How people become Christians are added to the church. They don't come on their own. It's not their idea. It is foreordained. And therefore, that's why Christ says, the laborers are few. I've grown and harvest. I have grown and harvest. The harvest is ripe. But the lazy, but the laborers are few. And we have to therefore take steps to address it. I don't have time, you know, but you may want to write it down. Chapter 9 and verse 31. Chapter 12, the same Acts. Chapter 12 and verse 24. Chapter 16 and verses 4 to 5. Chapter 17 and verse 12. Chapter 19 and verse 20. All of these speak about growth in the church. How the church grew and how it developed. What we see there is that God adds numbers when brethren learn to love one another and to esteem others above themselves. We see that the Lord adds numbers when we are able to exercise self-control and to forgive and to bear with one another. There is a spirit of God that works in the church. And you can quench the spirit and cause the spirit not to be at work among you. And therefore, the spirit dwells not where there is confusion, not where there is carnality, not where there is hatred. The spirit dwells where there is peace. Where there is love, where there is the tolerance and the endurance and the forbearing and things of that nature, the Spirit of God continues to work with us. Now, let us look at how spiritual growth declines. So we've just looked at how the church grows. We are here on a project, aren't we? We are here on a project. We have a room to fill. But we don't want to fill it ourselves. I could write a lot of emails and just say to people, come, you know. And if you send out 100,000 emails, maybe 1,000 will come, right? But everybody can do that. There are a lot of organizations in the world. Look at the football match that is taking place. Look at the number of people who come out. But they're drawn because of another reason. So it's not just a matter of getting people out. That's not the idea. Don't think we are into this numbers game for itself. That's why we say that numerical growth in the church depends upon spiritual growth. And we saw the part of spiritual growth is teaching the right things. Now let us look at how the church declined. What we will see is that instead of the unity and the sharing, and they were all at one and so on, instead of that, something else is happening. And you're going to see how now the church declines. You're going to see where believers are judging one another and doing all kinds of manner of things. Turn to Galatians 5. 15. And you see a term there which sounds like devouring. It says, they were consumed of one another. That was part of the problem, the church. Paul himself had a problem where the people were not getting along. And they were consumed of one another. So that what had been a powerful church has now begun to decline. Look at Paul writing to the church in Philippians now. Look at what is happening. You're going to see things change. You're going to see a different kind of behavior is taking place. A different environment is going to be taking place in the church. Look at this, Philippians 2 and verse 14. He's writing to the church, and he says to them, do all things without complaining and disputing. Because the complaining and the disputing were elevating in the church. And Paul had to write to them, do all things without complaining and disputing. Look at Philippians 4, verses 2 to 3. You wonder why it is that when it comes to the book of Revelation, you see the church as a fledgling, dwindling, almost going out of existence. Had it not been that God, Christ would have protected his church from fully dying? Look in Philippians 4, verse 2 to 3. I implore Euodia, I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, to help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. What they are saying here is that they were now having contention. And he is calling to them, I implore these women to be of the same mind in the Lord. Unless we're of one mind, then confusion comes in. And so these are the things you're seeing happening in the church. You didn't see that happening in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts was a formation. But now there's a church. And this is what happens.
Yes.
When people begin to come together, issues will arise. And we are going to have to be prepared for this. This is why teaching is important. That is why a number of the sermons that we will give will be the sermons about self-control, about managing emotions, about how to get along with one another. A lot of that will be part of what we do from the pulpit, because it is designed to help to make sure that those things are not happening, that the Spirit of God may continue to work. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. And we read from verses 1 to 11. And look at Paul. Look at Paul starting there. Say, dare any of you, having a matter against another, to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? In other words, the people are carrying one another to court. In the church. Verse 7, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? You know what this is saying? The Spirit of God in an individual in the church will compel them to take offense and to take being wronged. And you say, you know what? For Christ's sake. Now, these things are easier said than done.
Yes.
But we're going to have to talk about them.
Yes.
We're going to have to talk about what it means to be a Christian and how a Christian behaves. We're going to have to talk about those things. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? Because, you know, someone may owe you. Someone may have wronged you. We said, why not rather be cheated than to go and bring this matter out of the church, out into the public and into the law, into the law of the land? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. What he's saying is the same thing that you do, you're taking another one to court for it. These are the issues. Notice, because I'm going to show you where the numbers are. I'm going to show you how the numbers are going after this, because it's all numbers going up and up and up. But now you're seeing that in between are some developments that are taking place, which means that people are not getting along. Which means that the heart of kindness and the oneness and the fellowship and the breaking of bread together, you're not hearing any more of it. Okay? How does this happen to a church that was once so doing so well and to see it going down? You know what? Our ambition to serve God can sometimes become selfish ambition. Sometimes we think it's God we are serving, and we are serving ourselves. And that is one of the dangers. That, you know, sometimes you find an individual, they feel that something must be done in the church. And rather than speaking or trying to do and, you know, cursing and, you know, sort of dialogue and so on, they'll come, and if you don't do it their way, you know, hell breaks loose, according to the term. When indeed we are supposed to bear with one another, we are supposed to understand that you may be brighter than the person you're speaking to. So they may not get it as quickly as you got it. Therefore, you have to be able to bear with that person. And so sometimes it's because of our own drive, our own ego, our own desires, we are trying to get them through, and it gets in the way of the good that is supposed to happen in God's church. Look at John, 3 John, verses 9 to 10. It's just one chapter in 3 John. So look at 3 John, verses 9 to 10. And what happens to us is that our human nature, sometimes, rather than the Spirit of God, it is the human spirit that is at work. Our human nature takes over because of self-importance. Because we think we are brighter than others. And we have greater ideas than others. So we find ourselves doing things. And it is the right thing, because we really want to see the church grow. But we are doing it in a manner that is not the right manner. Yeah. All of us have to realize that. That has to do with me too. Yeah. Has to do with all of us. We have to understand how much our carnal nature continues to be a part of our life. Yeah. And how we have to be able to be aware of it and to manage it. John, 3 John, verses 9 to 11. I wrote to the church, John is writing, and he's saying this. And Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. He wants to be this prime person. And therefore, oh John, don't forget about John. Don't bother to listen to him. You know, I'm the person in charge here. He goes on. So if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. Gossiping and maliciously about us, because that is one of the things that can happen. People get in a corner, and rather than talking or praying together and trying to speak in psalms and whatever, they are there gossiping about someone else. And that was happening in the church. And he brings it out. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church because he now has an upper hand and he feels powerful. These things do happen. It is in the Bible. Why is it in the Bible? It's in the Bible to reveal to us that even though we are Christians, we can act carnally. We can behave un-Christian, even though we are Christians. Because they were still God's people. But they're holding back the work of God. Because rather than the apostles going out and preaching and bringing people into the church, they have to be outing fires in the church. Their time was absorbed trying to tell people how to get along rather than bringing in people. That is what is happening. And we want to learn as a church. We want to take out the best as we can. Pull out of the Word of God. And we want to practically utilize it. We want to behave in accordance with God's Word, in accordance with the Bible, to do things God's way. We want to do it that way. Let it be that it doesn't work after we do it God's way. Then that's God's business. That's God's business. Because it's possible that we can be doing a lot of work, but it is not God's will yet. God has another plan. God may just want to see whether we are doing it because we are saying, okay, we're going to do God's way, it's not happening. So if it's not happening God's way, all right, okay, it's not happening, I'll go do it my way. God's looking to see if we're going to do that. If really we are patient enough to wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
And to allow Him to do things in His own time. So even though we are here, if it is going to be just a few of us, oh, so let it be. But one thing we must be sure of is that we are doing things God's way.
Amen.
That's how we want to do it. So we are not saying that if it is not filled up, we are going to be saying the Spirit of God is not with us. Mark you, we can look and see the Spirit of God is with us. Because if we are a family who is having fuss and fights and quarrels and we, you know, we are not hungering for the Word, and we are, you know, doing all kind of other things, then certainly we are the reason. We are holding it back. But let us do it in the way that God says we must do it, so that it is God's. So look at what is happening now. You want to see how the church was growing? What does that mean? Turn to the book of Revelation. Because that is where now you're seeing the last chapter of the Bible. Last book of the Bible, rather. The book of Revelation. And you're seeing there Jesus writing to the churches. And it's the same churches that churches you're dealing with in Acts, the book of Acts. But look at what is happening now. Look at what is happening. You would say that by this time they should have grown to, I mean, because they were having numbers and multitudes and thousands. But look at what is happening. Why do you think those things come in between what happened in Acts and then what you're seeing in Revelation? It is showing you how the church declined. How it reached to where it reached in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2 and verse 1. The angel of the church in Ephesus. I know your deeds. Jesus is writing. Listed the concerns he has. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. He is praising them for the things that they're doing right. Because when the church is declining, it's not because you're doing everything bad. Some things are going right. So he's first of all acknowledging what they have done right, which is a very good approach.
Yes.
I know your deeds. Your hard work, so they are hard workers. And your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. That you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not. And have found them false. Now those are good things. Those are great things. They were still keeping to the truth. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name's sake. And I've not grown weary. No, you say, well, wait. Well, this is a perfect church. Everything is going all right. Everything is going well. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You know what that means? Sometimes when we think we're doing well, we look at a few things and we say, oh, we're doing so well. No. Many things can be going well, but it doesn't mean that you are a healthy church. It's just like a person who can have, you know, they have very good, maybe the lungs is going all right, and they have beautiful spleen is going all right, and so on. But the heart, maybe not so right. You can have healthy organs, but because you have a few unhealthy ones, and as healthy as the others are, it's only the unhealthy one is going to cause you, no, cause you to die. Can bring on the death. Right? So, I hold this against you. What is it? You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Yes, the height when you used to have all these thousands of people. The height when you were praying a lot. The height when you were having great fellowship. Remember the height from which you have fallen. You have fallen. Even though I've told you that you have these many good things going for you. You have fallen. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do things you did at first. The things that you were seeing in Acts. You need to get back to them. You need to get back to them. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. In other words, you think you've seen yourself dwindled yet? I will wipe you out. This is the word of God. We have, listen, this is why the Bible is so beautiful, you know. We don't have to guess what we need to do. God has already told us. We just need to go to the word of God and learn from it and do as he says. And if you read others, read about Smyrna, you go there, read Pergamum, what is there? Thyatira. The only one that was holding together was Philadelphia. Seemingly holding together. And even then, they were having their own challenges. Laodicea, you go through and you see that the church was dwindling. It was spiritually, they were weak. And that is why you were not seeing the numbers moving up in the way that it was moving up earlier. So what are the things then, the lessons that we learn? How do we grow spiritually? I want to close with this part here. Growing spiritually, we must go back and look at what we saw in Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, meaning that the people were being empowered and equipped. So they had what you could call an empowering leadership in the church. The leaders of the church must empower the people of the church. Then you go and you will see there in Acts that they had fellowship. They were bringing bread together and they were praying. That is loving relationship. So you have empowering leadership and you're having loving relationship in the church. Those are some of the things. Then you're seeing here, and this is in back in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Look at in verse 43 of the book of Acts. You're seeing there, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. You're seeing a gift-oriented ministry where the people are using their gifts. And this is very important. It's important in the church that individuals who have gifts, that those gifts are brought to be used for the purpose of the building up of God's church. And you will find your gift, and we will talk about that. We'll talk about discovering your gifts and knowing in what way you can do your part. It's not just for you to come to church. It's for you to be part of a body part of a mission, part of doing something for Christ. That is how it is supposed to be. And we want to be able to allow each person that God has given gifts to use those gifts for the growing of His church. It says in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions, and they, as anyone had need. That means they had what you could call holistic small groups, where people were learning what others, their situation, and they were working with each other in order to help wherever there were weaknesses and gaps. They were having those things. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's what you call passionate. Every day is passion.
Yes.
Passionate spirituality. They're passionate about the faith. They can't wait. They can't wait to stop, get home from work, or in order to go do something for God. They're on fire. You saw they broke bread in their homes and together, and with glad hearts and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They inspired worship. They were very inspired. And of course, you see in verse 41, those who had received the word were baptized, and they were added to the church. There was a structure. The structure where people were baptized, they were brought in, and they were taught. So there's a structure to the church. And it says here, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. They were going out to people, I would say, a need-oriented ministry. They were not just going after just one set of people. They were going after people based on their needs in reaching out to them. So there is, you can see from the book of Acts, that there was a method to the way in which the church grew. And it is for us to adopt these and to use them as Christ would have done. We turn to Luke 10, verse 1. Coming down now. Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two to go ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. We want to build a church in which each person is equipped and ready, always ready to give an answer for the faith that is within you. We want to build a church that any one person can speak to another and to share the word of God with them in a manner that can be convincing. So we want a development, a church that develops, a church that is edified, a church that grows, not just on feelings, but on edification. We want to build a church of that nature. And that is what we are after. We want to take young people and to teach them from their young how they can make the best use of their lives. And we want to build a church as Jesus would have wanted us to build it. He said, on this rock, He Christ being the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we believe that we are in partnership with Jesus Christ to build that church so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Therefore, we will equip you from the Word of God and enrich you to go out and to be true witnesses for Him. May God bless you. May you give your hearts and give your minds and give your will to devote it to God, to give of yourself, to accept a man can deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, He cannot be my disciple. There's something that we must give. And that is, most of all, to give of ourselves. That God may have his way in us. May the Lord bless you. Amen.